Good morning, church. So glad to have you with us this morning. Wow. You know, I want to say, isn't God good? But I don't think good is a good enough word to describe actually who he is. Somebody used to say, God's good. And then somebody said, all the time. Well, God's good no matter what time it is. So it doesn't matter, but God is, what's another word? Shout out a word. Awesome. Great. Magnificent. Great. Right. What was his word? Magnifico. Magnifico. He's Italian, so it must be Italian or something. Magnifico. He's all that in all the languages, right? Boy, you know, I'm going to tell you, how many of you were here yesterday? If you were here yesterday, wasn't that like, wow? I said in the seminar, I said, wow. And then I said it backwards. If you didn't get that, that's okay. I was just like, wow, wow, wow. I'll say it upside down, mom. I don't know. I was just so wowed by that. And I told Pastor Damien, if you weren't here, it's going to be available on Spotify. So you definitely want to listen to that. We'll let you know. It was a crucial word for the future of this church. It was, I don't want to say unbelievable. It was so believable because we've already seen what God's doing. And this is the next level of going out. The word, he really capitalized on the word go tell in an extraordinary way. It was just amazing. And Connie said, boy, I'd like to have him come and speak to the whole church on a Sunday morning, but he has a church and he's all over the place. He does things with the Pittsburgh Steelers, sorry, Browns fans. And then he does things, with Fortune 500 companies, and he's all over the planet, government. He's my friend. And he just showed up and I said, it's not what you know or who you know, it's how you know who you know. And if I ask him to come, I think he'll come. So we'd really like to release him on you guys, and you'll be changed. I said, yesterday was not just information. It was an impartation and I sent him a text this morning. I said, I got to preach today, and I got all that stuff that you were saying going through my head. I don't know how I'm going to pull this off today, but we're going to go somewhere. You ready to go somewhere? What's the title of the message? Let me check. Oh, you will be my witnesses. Say that. You will be my witnesses. Now, let's emphasize the second word. Go. You will be my witnesses. When I read this, it's like, you will be. I don't think being a witness for Jesus is optional if you're a Christian. Okay? Let's go. We got to jump it. We got so much. I promise you, I think, that this message will be shorter than Pastor Shane's last few messages, okay? So if somebody sees me getting close to his time, just say hallelujah real loud, and I'll know that's my cue to stop, okay? I actually had something I wanted to show you, but I'm not going to do that this week. I'm saving it, so. It's about Pastor Shane, but you'll see that later, okay? What's that? Did I wet?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, yeah, right? He's bigger than me. I got to be careful. Okay. I'm bigger on the inside. He's bigger on the outside. Okay. I'll just play with him. Here we go. Because I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. We're bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can say, I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Say, I'm bigger on the inside than I am. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Yeah, right? Acts 1, let's look at this. We're going to jump right in. God is on the move. Would you say that? God is on. Say, God's up to something. look, touch somebody next to you and say, God's up to something. And now tell them this, say, and I think he's going to use you to do it. I believe that the Holy Spirit is on the move now in the lives of his people more than I've ever seen it in my life. And Kat and I have seen a lot of stuff in our lives. We've been given the privilege to host his presence. The Holy Spirit is in me for my sake, but he's upon me for yours. He's in me for my sake, but he's upon me for yours. Because there's something in me that he wants to give to you through me. And that depth which he goes into me determines how far he goes out from me. So my question is, let me ask you this. How many of you have been water baptized? I mean, in the submerged form where you're totally, where you're underwater. I remember Pastor Don used to baptize up in the chapel, and Pastor Pauline would always be there helping them, you know, and she'd say the names. And I remember Pastor Don baptized this one girl, and she was kind of scared, so her arm went up in the air. So she went under, but her arm was above him. And Pastor Pauline said, no, Don, you got to take her down again. Her whole body wasn't covered. And he had to go, oh, get that arm down, and then took her down, fully submerged, right? So if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, whatever comes out of you is wholly dependent on the amount of the Holy Spirit in you. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, out of your belly will flow. It'll just flow. What flows? Rivers of what? Living water. Let's look at this. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. If we're going to fulfill this year's word of go tell, everybody say go tell. We made an interesting point yesterday. The word for the year is not go yell. It's go tell. We're commanded to go and be witnesses for Christ. We're not called to be like the guy I watched online the other day. He was this very large, bald man with a white shirt, and he had short tie disease. And, you know, it's too short to here. It should go to here. If you wear a tie, let it go to your belt. Don't. And he had a megaphone, and he was screaming at these people at a gay pride festival. You're going to hell. You need Jesus. If you don't repent today, you're going to burn in the fires of hell. And I thought, that's go yell. He never commands us to go yell. He commands us to go tell. Okay? Let's go. Acts 1. I'm going to read this in the Amplified version. I'm a musician. If something's amplified, that means it's louder, right? It's a little bit louder. So this is going to have some extra words in it, but let's go. Oh, we got to read. Come on. Here we go. I'm talking to myself. Come on. The first account I made, Theophilus. Now, who's talking here? This is Luke. Everybody say Luke. So who wrote the book of Luke? Luke, who wrote the book of Acts? Who wrote the book of love? We don't know that. I wonder who. I don't know who wrote the book of love, but okay, let's go. Sorry, I'm sanguine. You get what you get. I can't help it. Cat in here? Okay, I'll behave. The first account I made, Theophilus, was a continuous report about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he ascended to heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given instructions to the apostles, special messengers, whom he had chosen. To these men, he also showed himself alive after suffering in Gethsemane and on the cross by a series of... Now, when you see these brackets in the Amplified version, It's actually defining the Greek words a little bit longer than the actual words that are printed in the text. Okay? By a series of many infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations. Say that. Infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations. Appearing to them over a period of how long? 40 days. And taking with them and talking with them about the things that concerning the kingdom of God, while being together and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now." So when they'd come together, they asked him repeatedly, "Lord, is this time you're going to be reestablishing the kingdom and restoring Israel?" He's just talking about this empowerment that they're going to have from the Holy Spirit. And they say this crazy thing. I think that's when Jesus in his best Jewish form said, "Ay, ay, ay, come on, you guys." Okay. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or epochs of which the Father has fixed by his own authority." I mean, you think it's end time? You think Jesus come back tomorrow? Do you think after, you know how many texts I received about the eclipse? And I'm not downplaying it. I'm an astronomy guy. I have lots of telescopes. I have nice telescopes. I make Kat go out sometimes at night. You know, she's already for bed. And I'm like, "Kat, come on, you got to see this." And she'll go outside and look at my telescope. And she'll go, "Oh, okay." And she'll go back, "Come on. Look, look. Just look at it." Okay. Okay, this is what he says. Check this out. So they come together, and it says, "You don't know the times and epochs. Only the Father has fixed by his own authority." So I get all these texts and stuff saying about, you know, do you think the total eclipse is telling us something? Well, yeah. Yeah. Was it Jesus coming back that day? I said, "I don't know, because functioning in the prophetic and a lot of prophets that I'm connected with didn't say, oh man, you know, he doesn't do something without warning the prophets first." And then I told the person, I said, "It's interesting that eclipses happen about every 18 months somewhere in the world, but when they happen in the United States, everybody gets all wonky with it." Is it a system? I said, God is a God of systems. And everything means something, right? Okay. I mean, that doesn't just happen on accident. And how many of you actually saw the totality? Did you see totality? Did you see that? Kat and I were up there, and it was really cool because we were traveling. We had a designated spot that we were going to go to in Twinsburg. And we left Salem, and it was so it was raining in the morning, and then it was pure clouds, and we're driving up, I think we're driving up 14, and Kat goes, "Jesus, move the clouds. If you need clouds moved, ask Kat. It works." And it was funny because Youngstown had clouds, Cleveland had clouds, and Twinsburg was not a cloud in the sky when we got to the park. I was like, "Ooh, she got a connection." Okay. But if you don't get in that, we can't go there. I'm sorry. I took a rabbit trail. If somebody starts trying to tell you specific things of dates and times and stuff like that, run from that like my wife seeing a mouse at her desk in the church office. You need to get up out of your seat and run away from that, because you don't want to be messing with that. Why? Because it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed in his own authority. I'm sorry. Somebody needed to hear that. I got to move on. Oh, let's read verse 8 together. Do we have verse 8? Do we have this? Let's read it. Go. "But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Now, after that, he said these things, he was caught up, and they looked on, and a cloud took them out of their sight. While they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, two men in white clothing suddenly stood beside them and said, "Hey, dudes, why are you looking up in the sky?" Oh, I'm sorry. I went message on you there. Sorry. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will return in just the same way that you watched him go to heaven." Where was he when he ascended? He was on the Mount of Olives. Where does he come back? Mount of Olives. It's even the same place. It's the same place, right? Now, in the book of Luke, Luke's first book, Acts 1:1, okay, it talks about what Jesus began to do. You get the birth, the crucifixion, the death, resurrection, right? Then you get to the book of Acts. And it's interesting because a lot of Bibles, if you look at the title of the book of Acts, some say Acts, some say the Acts of the Apostles, right? And I'm not so sure that that's actually accurate for that title of that book, because Luke was about Jesus's beginning and Acts was like Jesus continued. So I think we really should call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because what's happening in the book of Acts? It's not the apostles doing it. It's the Holy Spirit moving and doing it through them. He says in Acts 1, the first part of that verse, "And you shall receive power." Everybody say that. You'll receive power. I learned something from Pastor Jeff yesterday after our seminar. He came up to me and said, "I got to show you this." He said, "You've been working this Acts 1:8. He said, "This came to me as a potential word for the year. You will receive power." And he said, and then I went, "Go tell." So that's the go tell word. And I said, "Ooh, maybe we have next word's word already. And we, you know, you receive power." It's in tandem. You can't go tell without the power. Because he said, you will receive power after that, the Holy Spirit. So you got to get the power first. If you try to go do something without the unction of the Holy Spirit or the endorsement of Jesus Christ upon you, it's going to fall flat. And it's not going to work. It's going to be you doing it. So he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes on, and you will be my witnesses not in Jerusalem, not where you're at. How many of you know there's sometimes you have to get away from where you are to get around people that you're going to talk to, you know? Because I think sometimes you think, "Oh, that's Joe, my neighbor Joe. Oh, he's never going to get saved. He'll know that guy is the worst drunken blah, blah, blah on the planet." Yeah. So, but when you get out in the supermarket and you see this lady with the cart, you know, and you have a conversation and you say, "Oh, hello." How many of you know that's a good thing to say first? Yeah. Okay. Hi. All right. Try this. How do you witness to somebody? What's a way to be a witness? I'll give you some practical stuff in the middle in case we don't get to it. I'm bumping some stuff here. How you doing? Oh, man, it's been a bad week. Do you ever have somebody just start unloading on you? They just start talking. And sometimes our response, I think, is, "Oh, man, that's bad. Oh, wow." We agree with some, you know? What's the ultimate reason for witnessing to somebody? To bring them to Jesus. Not to bring them to the church, to this church, or, you know, it's to bring them to Jesus. The ultimate reason for witnessing is not to show an unsaved person how much of the Bible you know and how spiritual you are. It's the prerequisite is be human. Everybody say be human. You know? Okay, my little guy with the short tie disease, that's not human. That's stupid. That's just plain stupid. You don't have to be spooky and kooky. Like the Addams Family. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Now I want to go play that song. fits the message. People, okay, the Holy Spirit's not spooky or kooky. People are spooky and kooky.
Oh, God's God of...
Don't do that. Here's something, and don't say this. When somebody starts to unload on you, you don't even know who this is. You're just trying to get your apples and bananas at Sparkle, and this lady's going hell at this point, all because you said, hi, hello. You know, one word opens the door. One sentence to a human being will connect you to that human being. That's all you need. You need one sentence. That's why it's important during a service to not just talk to the people you know, but say one sentence to somebody that you don't know. And then the next week, go back, know their name, ask them their name. You know, so when you go back, you say, oh, hey, Matt, how's your parrot? How's your bird doing? He goes, how did he remember my bird? I just watched him give his bird a shower this morning. It was really cool. He's got that bird. He's spraying that bird. And, you know, I love it. I used to have birds when I was growing up. Cat won't let me have birds. She's afraid of birds. So, okay. Or dogs. I can't have a dog either. We had a cat, but can't have animals. Anyway. That's why I like to go to people's houses that have animals, because I get the same. Are you texting me right now? My phone just beeped. Are you telling me don't say that?
Oh, my.
Now, I want to know the truth. Did Pastor Shane just text you and tell you to say that? Because if he did, that was good. That was. There's 1,000 comedians out of work, and he's trying to be one. Okay, here we go. Now, here's the thing. So Acts is, and this is my point. So Acts is like, it's Jesus continued, right? And this just came to me this morning when I was getting ready, that in the time of Jesus, in the book of Luke, you see a lot of the religious leaders, most if not all of the religious leaders, wanted to take him out. They said, no more doing that miracle. Don't do that miracle. You know, Jesus does a miracle on the Sabbath, and they think they got him. And they said, hey, don't you know the law of Moses, Jesus? You're the rabbi, and you should know the law of Moses. It says you can't even pick up sticks on the Sabbath. And what did you do? You're doing work on the Sabbath. What did he do? He healed the guy, right? So Jesus said to them, well, that question for you. And interesting is the Pharisees and the Sadducees were arch enemies with each other, but they had one thing in common. We got to get rid of this Jesus. And even to where the leaders of the day said, don't you even teach or preach or do anything, what? Not in the name of Paul, not in the name of Moses, in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has gotten cut out of what I would say religious circles, to where they don't even say the name of Jesus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the, but yeah. What's his name? Jesus. No other name given under heaven, right? So in the book of Luke, we see that the religious leaders of the day are trying to take him out. They need to get rid of this guy because he's doing miracles, signs, and wonders. And what does Jesus say to us? These things will you do, and even greater things, because I go to my Father. Now, what happens when I go to my Father? I send the Holy Spirit in my name, so you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. So if the book of Acts, and this is what hit me this morning, if the book of Acts is Jesus continued, why are there going to be so many religious leaders go against Jesus continued, which is the Holy Spirit and the gifts and workings of the Holy Spirit through me? They're going to combat and go, that's not for today. We don't do that. We don't like that. We're tired of that. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. Speak in tongues. Oh no, that's of the devil. Don't do that. They're rejecting Jesus continued the same way they rejected Jesus in the book of Luke. Now, I don't know about a lot of other churches, but we are people of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you have no power. You're powerless. And there are people that are cessationists. Cessationists believe that all this stuff in the book of Acts is Jesus continued is not for today. Right? And this doctrine that they say signs and wonders are no longer needed because we have the Bible, that was created by people who hadn't seen God's power and needed an explanation to justify their own powerless churches. they needed a reason to justify why they didn't have it in their church. So they said, well, that's done. We don't do that anymore. Not in this house. I said, not in this house. I said, not in this house. So we see it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. He says, you'll be my witnesses. So you see this lady in the getting, you know, you're just buying your apples and your bananas. Is that what we were buying? Okay. I got to make sure. I'm ADD, ADHD, DVD, CD, BVD, RV. I added RV recently. I'm all this. It's a creativity. Some people can't stand that. God's always moving on my brain. My brain moves fast. And if you're boring me, I just have to change the channel while you're standing in front of me. I can't help it. When you get to be that Charlie Brown teacher in front of me, wah, 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 I didn't scan. Okay, well, switch. So how you doing, lady? And she says, oh man, it's been rough. She might say like, oh, my husband just passed away 2 days ago. Oh my. And this is usually what we say. Well, I'll be praying for you. And being just never happens usually. Sometimes it does. I'll tell you, if you want to witness to somebody, and you don't want to say, oh, do you know Jesus? Do you want to come to church? Don't do that. I have yet to hear somebody refuse and say no to what I'm about to tell you. I don't care if you're in the middle of Sparkle, in the library, in the park, at work. Now, at Walmart, they have these things, blue. What's it say? Can I help you? Now, you can never find those people when you need them. But when you don't need them, they're standing there. Can I help you? Say this to the person. This is profound. This is the most profound thing I'll say today. Can I pray for you? I have never had someone say no. Can I pray for you? Like right now? You know, well, go ahead, check out, you know. You want to be a real witness to that lady? Say, let me get your groceries. Ooh, do that. That might be a good thing. Well, this guy bought my groceries and he prayed for me. And pray for them on the spot. That plants the seed. Can I pray for you? Just pray for them. You don't have to tell them about Jesus. Don't tell them to read the book of John first because that's a good book to read. Don't do that. Just, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Part of my commission for you this week is to find somebody that you can say that sentence to. Can I pray for you?
Well, I'm a Buddhist monk.
Yeah. Okay. Can I pray for you? I don't believe in Jesus. Whatever. Can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. If they did say no or rejected you, then you still pray for them. Maybe not in front of them, but you pray for them, right? It's a way to witness. How do you witness? That's practical, okay? Now, let's go. Can we go to Acts 3? She's running my scriptures up there. This is a New Living Translation. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon, take part. They had a 3 o'clock prayer service, right? As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, one called Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. He was put there on purpose. Why was he put there? So he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked eagerly at them, expecting some money. But Peter said what? I don't have any silver and gold for you. Read this next phrase. But I'll give you what I have. Say that again. I'll give you what I have. What are we going to give the people that we're witnessing to? We give them what we have. We don't have money. We don't have, you know. In the name, and here's what he has. Now the next sentence tells you what he has, and this tells you what he gave him. Read it. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk.
Wow.
What about the lady in Sparkle and you're buying your bananas and your apples and you're standing there and you pray for her? And God does something in Sparkle right then and there. You know, and you may never why it's important to make contact with strangers. You may only have one chance to ever see that person ever, especially if you're on vacation. Kat and I were in Myrtle Beach. Was that Myrtle Beach when we were walking and that lady had her dog and she was on the park bench? We're walking. That was in Sarasota. We're in Sarasota walking and we're kind of like, what's with this lady? Like, she kind of got highlighted to us. She had her little dog. It wasn't Dorothy, but she had her little dog. And your little dog too. She had a little dog. And we're like, we're just walking up. Oh, this cute little dog. And she said, I've had him for whatever, 15 years and I have to put him down tomorrow. And she is just so distraught. Remember that cat? And she's just so distraught. And we're like, oh man, well, can I pray for you? Okay. So we started praying for this. Like we said, are you Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal? Are you Presbyterian? Are you Jews? Are you an atheist? Are you? Don't do that to people. That's weird. That's spooky and kooky. We're not spooky and kooky. Be natural, right? Be natural. Look at somebody and say, be yourself. Tell somebody next to you, just be yourself. Tell them everyone else is already taken. Just be yourself. So we're praying for this lady. And I am telling you, now, sometimes I think Kat mainly prays with her eyes closed. I like to pray with my eyes open because the scripture says watch and pray. So I like to watch and pray. And this, the power of God just came over this woman. And I mean, and every time when we've ever prayed for somebody like that we didn't know, you know what they almost always say? They say almost two words, thank you. Or that sometimes they add two other words, so much. Thank you so much, you know? And we just couldn't get that lady out of our heads as walking. And we continued praying for her after we physically prayed for her, that God would just be with her and would comfort her and be with her. And that's going to stick with her. Now, the scripture says one plants, one waters, okay? But it's the Lord who brings the increase, okay? If it's the Holy Spirit working through me, I'm not responsible to do all the stuff. I'm off the hook. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. It's on him to do the stuff. I just have to be the vessel that's obedient to do and say that which he's calling me to do. And an interesting way of how that gets unsaved people's attention is by miracles, signs, wonders, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of healings, discerning of spirits, all those gifts. When they're in function, that's Jesus coming through us to them. That is God himself saying, I want to get so personal to this person that you're in front of right now that I'm going to pour myself through you using your gifts, using your spiritual abilities. I'd like to almost start saying spiritual abilities, okay? Yes, see, he's paying attention, right? He's doing what you guys should do. Okay, so spiritual abilities, the Holy Spirit gives you an ability to do something, and that is God personally coming through you, because Jesus said, these things shall you do, even greater things. I need you guys, because you realize something with Jesus? Jesus was not omnipresent. What does omnipresent mean? Everywhere at once. He could only be in one place at one time, and he's God in physical form. One person, one place. Everybody say one person, one place. Now, the Holy Spirit comes. Now what happens? It's millions of Christians, which means little Christ, not Christ, little part, a part of Christ, a little piece of that. If you're a Corinthian, you're a little piece of Corinth. That's why it's called Corinthian. Okay? Christian means I'm a little piece of Christ. So that Jesus in me gets to go unto all the world. Simultaneously, we got millions of people all around the globe that have potential connection to the billions of people around the globe that need Jesus. And he says, I'm glad that you're allowing me to personally work through your body in however that looks to still meet the needs of people and do miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? That they might believe. I, before there's another amen, I'm going to keep moving. Okay, let's go. I'm like, what? Oh, it's hallelujah. All right. See, I can't even remember the word. I tried to distract you. Let's go. You can say amen, can't say hallelujah.
Revelation 19:10 says, and here's the thing, we're witnessing. It says, Revelation 19:10, let's read this. Read that last part that says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Say that. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit prophecy. And this says, it's for the essence of prophecy is to give clear witness for Jesus. So if I'm giving a word, today we had two words, right? Okay. Don't ever get sick of that. Don't ever get sick of God talking to you. As long as it's God talking to you, don't get sick of it. Okay? Listen to that. The spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I can't talk, I can't do prophecy without it being the spirit of Jesus. I can't. And it's Jesus. It's prophecy and Jesus. It's simultaneous. I get miracles, signs, and wonders. It's Jesus. I'm giving Jesus. Yeah, but you're saying, you don't get okay. However, there's different administrations of the gifts. Don't get hung up on how someone administrates their gift. Because there's different administrations. Okay? Sometimes you might have a prophetic person that says, I, Lord, love you. I love you so much. Don't shoot the messenger. Grab the message. You might go, I don't like that message. I don't care if you, okay, don't like the messenger. That's fine. But don't lose the message. Okay?
Right?
Acts 4:10 says, let me clearly state to all of you, the people of Israel, that he was healed. This guy was healed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, the man whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Okay, so Jesus said, okay, guys, here's the deal. I got to get out of here so the Holy Spirit can come. And they didn't like that, right? He said, when I baptize you with my Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the baptizer and Holy Spirit, right? John said, I baptize you with water. The guy coming after me, Jesus, he will baptize you in his Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm doing this so that I can have personal connection and contact with all these people. Everybody say witness. He wants you to be a witness, okay? Now, you can't witness something you've never seen or you never heard. I was driving in Pittsburgh on the North Shore. Well, I was actually on Turnpike, and I was near Cranberry, near Wexford. And I was getting off the exit off onto 19. And I'm notorious for sitting at green lights because it's not how good of a driver you are. It's how good those other people aren't. And you got to watch everybody else. It's hard enough to drive yourself, but you got to watch everybody else, right? So I'm sitting there, the light turns green, and I intentionally wait, you know, and I went, okay, I'm going to go. I'm turning left. This woman in the biggest army tank I've ever seen in my life was going 60 miles an hour, blew through the red light, hit me 2 inches from my door, shot my car like a pool ball. 200 feet up the road. My bumper flew off of my car and is in the grass somewhere. I can't even see it. Okay. I stare at him and I'm like, I got to get this car off the road. So I literally pulled it as far as I could off the road. There was a lady behind me named Linda. I'll never forget Linda. So this woman pulls up. She had a Texas license plate. She pulls up beside me. She gets out of her car. She comes up to me and she goes, are you okay? You okay? And I said, well, no. You know, you don't know. That's a weird question. You know, don't go to a hospital with some guy laying in traction and go, oh, how you doing? This and that. So I was like, I don't know how I'm doing. I think I'm okay. This is what she said. She said, I'm from the Kent State Police Academy. I was behind you. I was about to honk because you were sitting at a green light. I watched this lady come up and hit you. This is a 45 mile an hour street. She was like going about 60. That's how I got my assessment, because she knows how to assess that. And she said, I watched her hit you.
I saw the whole thing happen from start to finish. I'm your witness. That's what she said. So then, now hear that sound? That's what the lady who hit me was doing when she heard this lady say, I'm your witness. Because the woman came up to me, I had a green light. I had a green light. I'm like, I let the witness talk. I step back. She says, ma'am, I'm from the Kent State Police Academy. She does this whole story. I'm just sitting there going, oh. The Cranberry police come. And the police officer shows up at the scene and goes, oh, Linda, what are you doing over here? Hi, Linda. And he goes, what are you doing? You okay? I'm his witness. I went, if my smile could have got bigger, I'm like, yeah, you know, okay, pray for me, church. Pray for me, church. I knew that woman was so wrong. I just wanted to, you know, like, what's wrong with you? I didn't have to say, I had a witness. I had a witness that's doing all the work for me. The witness was saying it for me. I didn't have to say a word. I just stood back. I was the one doing stuff, but she was my witness. Okay? That's how that works. And it was just amazing. I can't tell you the rest of the story. Speaking of witness, go tell. Everybody say go tell. I got to tell you this. Calls me on the phone. And she says, Pastor Mark, I got a question for you. I've been reading the Bible, and would you baptize me? And I said, sometimes you think you know about somebody, but you don't. I said, because I know she's ex-Catholic. And I said, well, what are you talking about? I said, because I don't sprinkle. You know, I don't believe in sprinkling, spraying, or spitting. We submerge, right? So we submerge. And she goes, oh, no. I want to be like dunked. I'm going to be dunked. Will you dunk me? And I'm not kidding you. I'm not making up words. And I said, sure. Well, where do you want to do it? She said, how about at our house? Yeah. So she has this sports thing with this, like the ice buckets thing, you know, like this, all this ice in it. And it's usually ice today. That time it wasn't. She goes, I get this thing. Can we just do it on our deck? And I said, sure, we'll do it. Okay. And then she says, I also have been hearing about how you don't water baptize small children, but you dedicate them to the Lord. Would you dedicate my children when you come too? I said, yeah. Okay. Stand up. And I said, okay, and she wanted to get baptized first. I said, well, let's stay dry. Let's do the baby dedication dry, and then we'll go outside. And so I'm getting ready, and I was like, okay. And I actually got a little nervous, because I'm like, you know, did you ever feel like you were a New York strip steak in front of a bunch of lions? Glenn, oh my God, help me, Jesus. And I said, oh, and I looked over at grandma, and I said, I didn't say anything. And she goes, I'm just going to watch. Okay. And then I started explaining oil to the kids, and the little kid goes, oh, I like olive oil, and that, and showing the kids, and we anoint them, pray for them. And we did the dedication, and those kids, the power of God just showed up in that house like you wouldn't believe. And then it was so believable. And so then we go outside. She's chomping at the bit. She's got this big tub thing that's like this high, okay? And I'm this high, so it was a little awkward. And so I'm like, okay. So she says, oh, do you want me to get in yet? I said, well, I'm going to talk a little bit. And I was talking about Jesus. Okay. To a whole family. I had one person in front of me that wanted to hear it, and they needed to see, even her husband's watching this. The whole family's watching. The little kids are watching. Everybody. Grandma. There's like, I think there were like 10, 9 or 10 people. And I said, why we're water baptized is because this is giving a public example. You're already saved. You accepted Christ. Now you couldn't, I don't water baptize unsaved people. You got to have Jesus.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, they sometimes people get confused and they think water saves them. Water doesn't save them. Jesus saves.
Okay.
The water didn't save Noah and his family. The ark did. Jesus is the ark. If we're in the ark of safety, that's what saves us, not the water. The water just took them to a higher level. Did you get that? Okay. So I have her in this water, which it said 51 degrees. She said, we didn't put ice in it today. I told Kat, I said, this woman had stammering lips when I was getting ready to baptize. And I said her name. And I said, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. I said Jesus' name. It's very important to say Jesus' name. That's my personal conviction. All power and authority is in Jesus' name. And when I said in Jesus' name, and I put her down under that water, oh my God. When she came back up, I was like, I think I'm getting baptized in the Holy Spirit all over again. The power of God just came. And I looked over at Grandma and I said, are you next? She wasn't next, but she might be next. That was a witness. That was one of the most incredible things I've ever done ever. You may think, he's a Jehovah's Witness. I can't witness to him. He's not saying, oh, that's Uncle Joe. He'll never. No, don't discredit anyone from receiving what you receive from Christ. And that may come because you're the witness. Be the witness. We're going to end. Give me a hallelujah. He's quiet now. Okay. So he's telling people, let's stand up. We got to land this plane. I have to end because it's 12:12 and Pastor Shane ended at 12:22. I wrote it down. Oh, I got to read this while you're standing. Let's go to Passion Translation, Acts 4. Here we go. How can I witness? I'm not a professional. I'm not Pastor Shane. I'm not Pastor Mark. I'm not Pastor Ben. I'm not Pastor. How many of you know Jesus uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things? He takes water, which is an ordinary substance, and turns it into wine, which is an extraordinary substance. That's how Jesus works. He is in the business of taking ordinary substances like you and I and saying, let me fill you, let me baptize you like Pastor Mark did that woman in that big tub thing, and let me have my Holy Spirit have full reign in your body to do, to say, to go, whatever that looks like, let me do that through you, and I'm going to do something extraordinary. Now, I need to say this because I feel like there's people in the room thinking this. I'm a quiet, melancholy, don't talk. I don't like to say anything. I'm not a people person. I hate being around people. As Kat would say, oh, bless her heart. Great. Because you're a perfect candidate, because it's not you that's going to do it. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to do the work through you, and the Holy Spirit is going to put you in front of the person to witness. He says, don't try to think. He tells Moses, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will tell you what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the word in due time. And something will come out of your mouth at just the same way that it came out of Peter's mouth when Jesus asked Peter, hey, all these people say I'm Elijah, or they say I'm John the Baptist with my head put back on and all that stuff. Who you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I think Jesus might not be in the scripture that might. It could have been in the scripture. Well, Jesus wouldn't say, oh my God. He'd say, oh myself. Oh my God. Where'd that come from? How'd you say? Hey, Pete, could you repeat that, Pete? Because flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. There's going to be some things, and I'm saying this prophetically to this group that's in here now. So pay attention. If you didn't pay attention to the kooky message, just pay attention now. This is the most important part.
the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read that verse. I'm skipping it. Sorry. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you guys for expansion. Everybody say expansion. The kingdom of God is expanding. That means he's going to expand in you, and you're going to go tell. Now think about what happened in the book of Acts, okay? In the book of Acts, they started out with 12. Then he says, go to the upper room. So they start with 12. When they go to the upper room, how many are there? 120. So prior to the upper room, how many members are in your church? 12. Okay? On when the day of Pentecost had fully come, how many members do you have in your church? 120. There's 120, right? Then after they get the power, they get the equipment. To whom he calls, he equips. He doesn't equip the called. You don't need a seminary degree to do this stuff. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Then the message comes. Peter preaches. They hear him. The next verse says, and 3,000 were added to the church in one day. How many members are in your church? 12. Tomorrow. How many is in your church? 120. The next day, how many people are in your, how many members you have at your church? 3,120. That's a lot, right? I had somebody say to me, that's impossible. There's no way that 12 people could have baptized 3,000 people. Oh yeah. There were these pools around that area intentionally. Jesus said, how many of you know that Jesus will intentionally put you somewhere because he already has stuff prepared before you get there to do what he wants to do through you? Did you get that? Okay. So there were these pools all around. I think there were about 50 or 60 of these pools where they would like bathe and do all this stuff. So there was well adequate equipment for them, for those 12 people to baptize, water baptize 3,000 people in one afternoon. If you don't think that God can't create something, because the love of Jesus is creative. Love creates. And love creates. How do you create a relationship? Love somebody. How do things happen? How do things expand? Love, right? So, if you don't think that works, there's a eunuch traveling, and they're out in the desert. They're in Gaza area in the desert, traveling. And he's hearing a message about Isaiah 53. And all of a sudden, in the middle of that desert, think of this. I just got this reading this the other day. I never thought of this before. They're there. The eunuch's there. All of a sudden, in the middle of the desert, the eunuch says, hey, there's some water. What forbids me to be baptized? And I'd like to suggest, they went, where'd that water come from? Where are they? In the desert. Is there water in the desert? All of a sudden, he's hearing this message. He gets this, I want this. I want what you're saying. You know, I'm smelling that pot roast you're cooking, cat, and I want it. I can just smell. I want it. And the eunuch, there, boom. There's water right in the desert. Here it is. Baptize him. How am I going to go tell people? You got to go somewhere. Okay? You got to go. And I'm prophetically telling you guys today that God is imparting this go be my witness, that there's going to be multiple people coming into the kingdom because you go and you tell. You go and you tell. It's going to be in workplaces. It's going to be all over. It's going to sometimes scare the bejeebies out of you. You don't think that's how it's going to work? Be in a room of 10 or 11 Jehovah's Witnesses and baptize somebody in Jesus' name. That scared me to death as I was doing it. I'm going to lie. Takes a lot to get me to that point. I was like, I sounded like Grover there, sorry. But he's going to empower you guys to go tell. That's it, yep. That's the anointing. There's an anointing to go tell. It's easy for him to go tell. You say he's a professional. Pastor Mike, no, go tell. 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 You know, you could even be sitting in a wheelchair and you're still able to go tell. You can go tell. Go tell. Go tell. Go tell. Go tell. You can tell people even by Facebook. You go tell. You say a lot of cool things about God on Facebook. Keep doing it. Don't stop. Don't stop doing that. Are you ready for the big prayer? Here's the big prayer. And then we're going to add. Everybody? Ready? Go. Go like this. I'm short. I got to be up here. This should be. Go like this. There's five more words. Ready? We're in scary prayer. Scary prayer. Some of you are going to say these words and go, what did I just say? Ready? Say this. Say, here am I. Send me. That's the prayer. Ready? That was practice. Ready? I don't want to make you say it. If you want to say it, I'll say 1, 2, 3, and we pray it. Tell him, don't tell me. I don't care. I'm not sending you. He's sending you. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I need to know something. Seriously.
Do you have a microphone?
I don't even know. I just feel like I'm supposed to do this. I don't know about this. I'm just saying. Larry, Rick, could she come up? I heard a snippet of this, but I didn't hear. And if this isn't right, tell me. But I heard something about you, like, standing on. I don't even have to say anything. I just say standing on. And do you know what I'm talking about? Could you give us like a couple sentence put of that?
A while ago, the Lord said, make a sign. Make a sign. So I'm like, and I wanted to say Jesus loves you. So, I went out to my garage and grabbed some scrap wood and threw this thing together and went down to Dollar General and spent, I think, $3 or $4 on the poster board and used a Sharpie, and it looks like a 3-year-old drew it and says, Jesus loves you. So, whenever I feel this inkling or I have this time, I throw the thing in my truck and I'll head to a different intersection and just stand there with it. I don't scream at anybody or say to anybody. And people drive by, people honk horns. I had a couple people tell me I'm number one. But beyond that, it's been an awesome experience. And not because people, you know, when they drive by, give a thumbs up or they wave. It's the cars that kind of act like I'm not there. Like they don't see me. They got that dead stare forward. Like I'm not doing that. That's the one I pray for really hard as they go past. But anytime you see me out there, if you want to stop by and join me, feel free. So the Lord's sending me out.
Stay here. Stay here. What's the scripture for that? I guess these signs shall follow them that believe, right? Stretch your hands toward him. Here's a missionary. Say, I'm a missionary. Missionaries have missions. You get your mission from the Great Commission. It's a co-mission. It's not just you. It's Jesus co-working through you to do the mission. That just came hot off the press. Pastor Mark, that was good. I should write that down. I don't want to pray for him. I want you to pray for him. Okay, you guys have the mic in your hand. Out loud, give him a 30-second prayer with your mouth. Go, pray for him. Go. Bye. Jeez.
Now let's pray a prayer out loud for all the people that see that sign. Pray out loud for the people that see the sign. Pray for them that they come to Christ at this. Pray it. Let them witness it. Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say this.
What just go from that?
Say, here am I.
Set me. God bless.